Thank you, brother. I'll carry that one. All right. I got two mics now. Y'all are in trouble. Brother Harold, thank you so much. Brother Harold, I hope I'm in good a shape as you. You're what, 83 years young, right?
Pardon?
How old?
I'm only 86.
86 years young. Only 86. I hope that I'm in as good a shape as you and look as good as you at that age, brother. I'm just telling you, I love to hear when people who've been through stuff, children, kindergarten through sixth grade, y'all go. That's just a little out of order. Y'all were hoping y'all were going to get to stay in here, and I know better than that. Kindergarten through sixth grade, but I love it when people have been through some stuff, read the Christmas story, because there's meaning there. They've gotten to this place, they've been through life, they've lost people, they've had loss in their life, they've had struggles, and they read it and they know. They still believe it.
Yes.
Man, sometimes we go through hard times and we start to question. I love to talk to people who've been through things and they still have their faith in Christ. Well, we heard the story of the wise men. Again, I said that this is a little out of order. I know wise men really should be next week, but I woke up several times, three times this week, preaching this message. And so I figured I guess I better preach it to get it out of my mind. And I'm excited about it because God has shown me some things maybe that I've looked over in the past. Some things, have you ever seen something, read it, drove a different way or drove the same way several times, like almost every day, and you don't see it, and then all of a sudden you see something, like, how long has that been there? You read something, you're like, how long has that been in there? And so that's kind of as we read Scripture, that should happen to us all the time. And I was always, I don't know, I guess I kind of wondered about that when I was younger. Like, if I read the Bible all the time, I'm going to learn everything there is to know. How dumb was I? Yeah? I'm going to learn everything that there is to know. And I'm not have to, but what we find out is the closer that we get to God, the more we grow spiritually, the more that the Spirit is able to reveal to us and give us things that we couldn't handle 3 years ago, we can handle now. Things that we couldn't understand before, now all of a sudden, like we've said, we've gone through some things, and now we can understand that. And so I love the Scripture, how we can continue, even through stories like the wise men, continue to grasp new things that the Spirit will reveal to us, new things. First, here's the thing. For some of us, we need to know this. God speaks. The question is, do we listen? God speaks, but do we listen? These wise men, they're not from Israel. We're not sure, quite the area they're from. They're just from anybody remember? The east. There you go. Some of y'all were scared. They were from afar. And so afar off. And so here they're coming. And God speaks to them in a way that's a little bit different than he speaks to other people. He actually uses a star to speak to them. A star. There's two understandings of this. One, that they're just stargazers. They basically look at the stars to rule their life. Like they look at their horoscope all the time. They're trying to figure out what's going on through this process. And so this event happened and God speaking to them really in a way that they will understand. That's one idea. There's another idea that these men, these wise men, we'll see a little more than that. These wise men may have been disciples of Daniel as he was in Babylon, and that they learned about the coming of Christ from following Daniel. We're not sure about that. It doesn't really tell us a whole lot, but those are the two possibilities really that we have. There's another, it's a little less likely, that they're really far off, maybe from areas of Turkey. Y'all remember when the donkey talked? Yeah? Yeah, was it Balaam's donkey? Yeah? One of my favorite Bible verses in the King James, to go back and look it up in the New Testament. But anyway, it says that the donkey spoke. Yeah? I so want to quote the King James. Anyway. Do it. Joseph said no. Should I vote on that? Should I quote the King James? The King James says, God can speak through a dumb ass. That, man, doesn't that give you hope today? Why y'all pointing at people? There's all of a sudden people are pointing. It's King James. Through a donkey that can't speak. And so he speaks. God is able to speak. And really, why did that happen? Because Balaam was hired to go and curse Israel while they were in the wilderness. The weird thing is that God didn't want him to go, didn't want Balaam to go, and so he put the angel in the way, and the donkey didn't want to go past the angel because he was scared, and Balaam kept trying to make him go, and finally the donkey spoke, and it's like, no, I'm not going that way. But here's another weird part, that when Balaam went to curse, he finally got to the place where he was going to curse Israel, God came on him, which he was a pagan, but God came on in him. He spoke blessings. That's strange. And in that time that God spoke through Balaam, Balaam talks about a ruler that comes and that there would be a star that would mark the coming of the king. And so that could be that they are descendants or disciples of Balaam. Whatever happens, however it happened, we know this, God spoke to them. Amen. If they were disciples of Daniel, if they were disciples of Balaam, if they were just stargazers, it doesn't really, I guess it's interesting, but it doesn't matter. It's that God spoke to them in a way that they could understand. And God still speaks to us in a way that we can understand. In fact, that's why it's really important to us, for us to make the message clear, easy for people to understand, because that's what God wants. When Jesus came, he told parables. You remember? We talked about one last week. He told parables. Why did he teach in parables? Because they're easy to remember. They're easier to understand. They're easier to apply to our life. It reveals things about us. And so God speaks to us. The question is, do we listen? And in a time like we're living in now, where there's so much to do, like whenever I was growing up, I thought there was a lot to do. But there's really a lot to do now. I mean, like right now, some of you want to check to see if that thing that you posted has some likes right now, don't you? You want to see if somebody commented on it. We used to have, y'all remember four channels? Yep. I'm counting PBS. Some of you are like, I had three. You had PBS? Sesame Street, when you were sick, and the electric company, that's when you watched PBS during the day, because otherwise you're watching the stories, and who wants to watch that as a kid, okay? Deborah died and came back to life or whatever. I don't even know where that came from. That just came from way back there. Does anybody remember Deborah? Is that a character? Okay, it was a character. Did he die and come back? Okay, good. I knew that. All right. I don't know how I knew that. I stayed home sick a lot. Anyway, yeah. Stefano? Okay, see, look, y'all, now we got into a big debate. I love it. All right, so whatever it is, whoever it is, all right, so we had the four channels. Y'all remember that? That's all we had. And if you missed one of the series or one of the shows, you just missed it. You better hope it came on during the summer. During the reruns, but nobody watched in the summer because we didn't want to watch reruns. Now we have everything at our fingertips. It doesn't matter. I don't even watch anything when it comes on originally. Do you? I don't even know when things air. I don't know what comes on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I don't remember. I don't know. We used to know, didn't we? I don't watch football. I watch some football or sports. I watch that live. Other than that, sports, talking about sports. We have activities. Back in the day when we grew up, what we have? Football, basketball, baseball, that was it. That's all you had. Now we have. Some people ran track, so I guess you could include track. But now we have soccer, and we have volleyball, and we have swim, and we have horseback riding, and it won't be long before we have hockey here. Yeah, it's just a lot. And we used to have seasons, like you played football during football season and basketball during basketball season and baseball during baseball season, and now you just play it all year, all of them. And so, and I'm not saying anything they're bad. I'm just saying we're busy. We're busy. We're just, we got a lot going on. You know, and as we think about our families, you know, we go and see our kids do this and go do that, and then we, you know, some of you have grandchildren, and so now because their schedules are busier, now you're doing this, and we're just busy. And it's easy to miss God speaking. It's easy for us to get so busy and things be so loud that when God speaks, because he's not going to force himself on us, God's a gentleman. And so it can get so noisy that God's voice becomes one in the crowd, and we need to take time and be still and know that he is Lord. So I'm going to challenge you during this Christmas season to take a break. To take a break from everything, to retreat away. Even Jesus would retreat away, would go away from the crowds, would get by himself. And if Jesus had to do that, how much more do we have to do that? So I would encourage you during this time to go away from, to move away. Don't fill your calendar so full that you miss what Christmas is all about. And that he's speaking to us right now. And he's speaking to us in a way that we can understand. Sometimes, look, people read the scripture and God's speaking to them right there in that scripture, and it's coming, and there's always time for that. You always have to do that. But there's also times God speaks through things like songs. And sometimes he goes even further than that. Like, he'll speak through heathen things like Balaam. Balaam's a heathen. You'll be watching a television show and something will be said, and you'll be like, and God just lays something on your heart and just starts to convict you, and all of a sudden, God's teaching you something right there in the middle of that. He's speaking to us if we will just listen, if we'll just take a moment. You know, yesterday I was able to go to a funeral. It was beautiful, by the way. Kim's mother passed, and I was there. And there was a guy, he was just playing the piano just for a time. And you had to be still. And in that moment, you just got caught up in that moment where God's speaking. Everything else just kind of fades away, and you're there in that moment. And God just, he can just bring a peace to our life. And in that time, it just brought a peace as I listened to it, man. He banged those keys, too. He was pounding those things. Oh, it was good. Yes, and it was good. And it brought me to a place of just peace. It's a peace. So God speaks to us, but do we listen, and do we make time to listen? Now, also we find in this passage that God always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. Now here's where we get to. Numbers 24, 17. You don't have to go and look at this, but this is Balaam. Listen to what God speaks to Balaam. I see him, but I don't see him now. I view him, but he isn't near. No, he's talking about the king that's coming. A star will come from among the people of Jacob. A king will rise up out of Israel. And then in Daniel 9, it's going to get a little complicated, but follow me, and then you can go back and double check. But Daniel chapter 9, write it down. Here's what I want you to know and understand. There will be 7 weeks, and there will be 62 weeks. The 7 weeks will begin when the order is given to rebuild Jerusalem and make it like new again. At the end of 62 weeks, the anointed king will come. Talk about Jesus will be born. Jerusalem will have streets, a water system when it is rebuilt. But what will be done in times of trouble after, listen to this in 26, after the 26 weeks, the anointed king will be put to death. His followers will desert him, and everything he has will be taken away from him. If you put all this together, the weeks are 7 years, You put all that together, you have 483 years. Jesus comes 483 years from the time Jerusalem was rebuilt, the announcement was made. God keeps his word.
Amen.
And if you go back and if you look, we also saw here when Herod, when he's asking, where is he going to come from? The scholars go back to Micah and says, and reads from Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are certainly not the least important among the towns of Judah. A ruler will come out of you. He will rule my people, Israel, like a shepherd. God keeps his word. He said this is what's going to happen, and this is what happens. For us in this Christmas season, we need to know that God keeps his word. Because sometimes Christmas for some people is joyful, it's joyous, it's full of just excitement. It's like electricity's in the air. But for other people who've lost folks, other people who have their life is destroyed, Christmas is a magnifying glass for their life being a disaster or their life having loss. And they need to know in this time that God keeps his word. He hadn't forgotten about you. And if that's where you are right now, like if you're in that place where you're thinking, I don't know if I can live through another Christmas. Because it's one or the other, and Christmas is either the greatest time of the year or it's the worst time of the year. God keeps his word.
Amen.
Watch. This is what I love. As the old hymn would say, this world is not our home.
Amen.
And as we come to Christmas, we have to remember that and keep that in our mind. And what he said, Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I will return for you. If you think about last week, it's talking about the marriage ceremony. When they would get engaged, the man would go and prepare the place. You remember that? And when the place was prepared, the husband would come back and get the groom. And then they would be together. And what did Jesus say? I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I return, I will take you with me. We celebrate the coming king. He has come, but he will come again. He fulfilled his promises and said, I will come and I will be born in Bethlehem. And in fact, Daniel says he will die and everything will be taken away. And Jesus says, I will be resurrected. He has done all those things. He has kept his word. He is faithful. He always keeps his word. And so if he has always kept his word, he's always been faithful. He says, I will come again and I will receive you to myself.
Amen.
And Christmas, look. We can be distracted by all the things that we've lost.
Yep.
And on Christmas Day on Facebook, parents, some of you are going to look and you're going to see what other parents got their kids, new cars, which there's nothing wrong with you're getting a kid that. That's fine, new cars. Or they got their pastor a new car. I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. All right. But got their kids new cars or they got... You know, their kids, the newest gaming system, the most expensive clothing, and you've worked all year, and you've worked your fingers to the bone, and you can't get those things for your kids. And at the end of that day at Christmas, you feel defeated. Jesus is coming back, and this is not our home. And if you want to leave your kids something that will outlast this world, leave them Jesus.
Amen.
And as you look at those things, understand that it's good. Celebrate with your friends. And I get it. It still hurts because you want to do more, because I always want to do more. But at the same time, watch, parents, understand, sometimes we do too much for our kids anyway. And then all of a sudden they don't appreciate anything. And then they grow up to be adults that don't appreciate anything. How many of you grew up in a hard time and a hard place where you didn't always get what you wanted and now what you got you appreciate? And so God may be doing something in your kids' life by not letting them have everything they want through because you can't provide it. He may be doing something greater for them than you could ever do for them. Man, God keeps his promise. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. And then I love what happens with the wise men. God speaks to them. They believe that he's going to be faithful. So when they see the star, they say, let's pack up. Now, I love what they pack. They pack all kinds of stuff, but it says they pack their treasury too. So they're going to see him on purpose. So they go to find the king. We will find Jesus when we look for him. He's not hard to find. Man, I love the stories that you hear about missionaries. Sometimes we think about, and we're like, what about these people who have never heard about Christ? What's going to happen to them? And I don't want to get in a big debate, argument, but really they're suffering from the sins of their forefathers because at one time we all came from Noah. First we all came from Adam, but then we all came from Noah. They knew who God was. Their forefathers abandoned God, and now they're paying the price. Okay? So if you look to anybody to blame, blame their forefathers. Christ is trying desperately to reach them through us. Sometimes we're just too stubborn to go.
Amen.
Okay? So, but I love stories as tribes who have never heard the name Jesus, they start to seek truth. And these are true stories from mission. You can look, you can read them, you can find in our missionary journals that they publications that they give out. They'll go to an area that have never heard the name Jesus, and the missionaries go, and some things like this happen. Who my favorite is, they start to tell about who Jesus is. Hey, yeah, we know all about him. We've seen him in our dreams, but what is his name? God had already prepared, and when the missionaries got there, they tell them the name Jesus, and the whole tribe comes to Christ. Or when they get there, they start to preach, and they say, oh, yeah, we know about Jesus. Like, how did you know about Jesus? Because Jesus revealed himself to us in dreams. Man, that's huge. Truth, when you seek truth, when you seek God, you will find him. It doesn't matter if you have access to the Word. It doesn't matter if you have access to other people. God will reveal himself to people who seek after him the way that he revealed himself to these wise men. I almost said three, but we don't know if there's three. They're just wise men. That destroys some of your stories, doesn't it? It doesn't tell us. Did you see that? It doesn't tell us how many. Sometimes we think there's three because there were how many gifts? Three gifts, but we don't know. But God revealed himself to these wise men, however it happened, if it was through stargazing, if it was through Daniel, if it was through Balaam, however it happened, God revealed, they believed it, they sought after him, and they found him. In fact, I love this. As truth reveals truth, you notice that first they followed the star that led them to Israel, but then they had to find the house. This is one of those things that I don't guess I ever noticed. I was reading some commentary, and it says, if you notice, that the star, they started to follow it, and it stopped over where Jesus was. This is weird. The star moved. It moved. Sometimes we like to think of it as something that just naturally happened. Saturn lined up with whatever and whatever and whatever. But here it says that it moved. It says it went ahead of them in verse 9. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them and finally stopped over the place where the child was.
Amen.
They followed a star to Israel. When they got to Israel to find, pinpoint it, truth revealed truth that revealed truth that revealed truth, and they finally found Jesus there in the home because they followed a star that moved. God will move the stars to reach you. It's like no accident that you're here today.
That's right.
There's no telling those. We can't understand the things that God moved out of the way for you to be here, or moved in the way to be here, or the star that he used to guide you here.
Amen.
But you're here because God wants you to find him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you that he's faithful. So when we will find God when we look for him. Sometimes we ask, why is God so distant? It's probably because we were looking for something else. A few years back, we went to camp. We're in a bunch of vans. Well, we had a few vans, and then we had some other things, but we mostly had these 15-passenger vans. And we were going to Ridgecrest. We stopped in Knoxville to get lunch. We're almost there. We get finished eating. I put the address, I thought the address, and back into the GPS. We end up on the Dragon's Tail. Have anybody ever heard of the Dragon's Tail? It's like 830 turns, curves, in like 11 miles, something like that. It's crazy. We're in church. It's such, like, the turns are so sharp. There's people with cameras. This is no kid. Cameras taking pictures. And you can go online and find your pictures. I didn't go look, but, like, every time we went by around a turn, the kids were all like this against the window. Okay? We finally get to a place, and you can't turn around. Kids are throwing up. This is no lie. Kids are throwing up. We can't turn around. We finally get to a place where we can turn around. And in my mind, I'm like, if we just keep going, we're going to get there. Any man, you ever been there? I just keep going. I'm already this far in. Let's keep going. So finally, we get to a place we can stop, and we think it's over. We're about halfway there, and I'm like, well, we don't have much longer. Let's just finish the Dragon's Tail. When we get to the address, we have pulled up into somebody's house. The address was wrong. And we were like an hour and a half from camp. Now we're about 5 hours from camp. Unless we go back through the Dragon's Tail, and that would take off about 30 minutes, which we refused to do. Kids are already sick. Okay. We made it. It was an adventure. I'm glad we did it. I wouldn't want to do it again. But as I was seeking the wrong address, I was moving further away from where I was supposed to go. Sometimes we ask, where is God when we're moving away from him? Why won't he speak to me? And we have our GPS set on things that we want, our selfishness, our desires, our want. And we're like, God, why won't you speak to me? It's because we're moving further and further and further away from him. We're on the Dragon Tail puking our guts out. And he says, I'm not where I've always been. I don't move. You're the one that moved. If God's far from us, it's because we moved away from him. But I love this. The prodigal son story tells us that when we finally make our way to him and we start to come close to him, that he runs to us. So wherever you are, if you're thinking God doesn't care about me, he loves you desperately. He will move the mountains and the stars. He will send people your way to share about who he is and the gospel so that you can know him. And then the wise men did this. They worshiped him as king. Now, here's where I want us to spend just a moment to think about as we're looking at Christmas. Do we treat Jesus as king? Is he our king, or is he just somebody we know? Like, does he command reverence in our life? Or do we treat him as common every day? I love what it says. It says that when they saw him, and he's a child. Some people think he's probably 2 years old, and you're like, why are the wise men in the manger? They're not supposed to be in the manger scene. Put them across the room. They're making their way there, okay? Amen. But they think that he's about 2 years old. Why? Because when they departed, and they didn't know Herod killed the children that are 2 years old and younger, okay? And he asked when the star appeared. So probably about two. So they come into the room of a child that's under 2 years old. Wise men, rich, have everything, risk it all to find this king. And they fall face first on the ground in the presence of Jesus. And then I love what it says. It says, they opened their treasury. And they presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We also, this from the area, probably this would put them a little bit further than Babylon, maybe a little further east, but it could be imported, but we don't get in there. And some people say that the frankincense and myrrh, they were used to embalm, so it was a foretelling of Jesus' death, but really, these are gifts that would be given to a king, and not a small amount. And that they opened up their treasuries and they worshiped him with everything that they had, their physical being, their possessions, their time, everything that they possessed, they used to worship this king. Christmas, we think about presents, we think about gifts, we think about what we're getting, we think about all those things. Here's what I want you to think about. What will we give our king? What does our king deserve? Sometimes it's hard to give him an hour and a half on Sunday morning, isn't it? I get it. Listen to me. I know life gets busy. I want you to think about this, though. Sometimes we give our king the crumbs of life, the leftovers. And then we still declare him to be our king. Those things don't line up. Like if we have anything left over, if we have time left over, if we have, you know, if we have money left over, if we have effort left over, if we have anything left over, he gets the leftover parts. But what we see in the New Testament is that God got the first fruits. He got the best. He was number one because he is king.
Amen.
He's king. You know, I don't like taxes. Anybody like taxes? I'm just wondering. Anybody? Okay, good. Nobody likes taxes. Isn't it crazy? We fuss about taxes, and taxes are crazy out there, and taxes come out our check first thing, and our tithe comes out last.
Come on.
What would it look like if we showed up on Sunday morning like the wise men, having seen his star? And seen him high and lifted up. To hear about the promise of the Messiah that has come to deliver us from our sins, to give us a future so that we can say that this place, this earth, is not our home and that we're just passing through. And that the kingdoms that we have built, the things that we have, that will be destroyed. Anything that you have now will be destroyed. It won't last. That the Messiah comes to give us gifts that rust and moss and time can't touch. What it would look like if we showed up on Sunday morning like the wise men as they came before Jesus and they fell face first on the ground in front of a holy God. Not caring if anybody saw them, not worried if their servants saw them, not worried about anybody else except for Christ. What would that look like? And what would it look like if we opened up our treasury and instead of looking going, I've got to pay a tithe because I have. You don't have to pay anything. God doesn't force you. The government forces you, but God doesn't. But we open up our treasury and we look at our treasury and we look at our king and we look at our treasury and we look at our king, and all of a sudden that treasury looks so cheap compared to the riches of Christ.
Amen.
What would that look like? What would it look like if all that we have in this world that we would take out and that we would give to the king and say, here, I know you created it. I know you made it. I know your kingdom have streets paved with this stuff. But this is what I've got. As we sang, all I can do is play my drum. That's all I have. But I'm going to give you everything. What would Christmas be if we could be like the wise men seeking a king? And they didn't even know the full story. They didn't even understand the complete story of the death and the burial and the resurrection. They didn't even understand all that, but they were devoted. Man, my king is incredible. My king humbled himself to be born in a baby's body. So he could die on a cross to rescue me from myself, which is big for me. With this, I'm done. This week, as I was thinking and just praying and really dreaming about this message, this idea of being saved from myself, being saved from my sins, from the destruction. But this idea of being saved from myself, you know who disappointed me more than anybody in my life is me. I've disappointed myself more than anybody else in this world. You know who's lied to me more than anybody else in this world? Me. You know who's been deceitful more than anybody else in this world? Me. You know who's hated themselves more than anybody else in this world? Me. And Jesus, my King, came to save me from myself.
Amen.
Man, people are searching and they just have the wrong GPS coordinates. We're looking at self-help issues and self-help books and counselors, and counselors are great, especially if they're Christian-based and those, but we're looking to them, and the whole time Jesus says, here I am. Humble yourself. Admit that you can't do it on your own. Fall on your face. Open up your treasury. Give me your time, as Jesus would say. Love me with everything that you are. Love me physically, spiritually, emotionally. Love me with all of your strength.